Welcome to Scary Stories, the channel that tells you scary stories.
I'd like to take a moment to say that yes, it's true. Our writer, Peter Bernard, is appearing at the South Coast Comic Con outside of Boston on July 22nd and 23rd, along with celebrities such as the real, original Pete and Pete themselves. Find out more at neccomiccon.net. And if you have a scary story you'd like to tell us here, you can write Peter at peterbernard.com, or you can call our new Scary Stories hotline number and leave it to us in the form of a voicemail message. It's easy to remember. 804-LE-SCARY. That's 804-LESCARY, or 804-537-2279. That's a voicemail-only number, so don't expect any of us to pick up. And now, back to the spookeriness.
Scary Stories by Peter Bernard. Number 1.
The Pig-Nosed Man in My Window. As told to Peter Bernard, read by P.Q. Ribber. Dear Scary Stories, I have been searching the internet looking for something like what happened to me when I was a kid, but so far I haven't found anything like it at all. Now I'm asking around on different forums and places online to see if anyone ever had anything like this happen to them. When I was a kid, I would be visited just before dawn by a pig-nosed man who would look at me through my bedroom window while hanging upside down from my roof. If it hasn't happened to you, then I guess that might sound weird, but it went on nearly every night from when I was 4 or 5 until I was 11 years old. There were some nights he didn't seem to show up and other nights that I didn't wake up till after the sun was already up, but usually I woke up to go to the bathroom between 4 and 5 a.m., and I would say hello to him each time. He would never say hello back. He would just look at me. He had small black eyes placed very far apart, a mouth I don't remember ever seeing open, and the largest nostrils I ever saw in my life pointing straight forward. I only ever saw him in the dark, so I don't know if his nose looked like that normally or if it was because he might have been pressing his nose against the window. One time I turned on my bedroom light to see him better and momentarily blinded myself in the process. When I'd adjusted to the new light in the room, he was now gone from the window. Other times I would walk up to the window in the dark and squint to try to understand better what I was seeing. I think his nose really looked like that. A large nostrilled, upturned nose, unlike anything I've seen on a human before. That's why, as a kid, I called him the Pig-Nosed Man. I would talk about him to my parents and sister, but they wouldn't really react. I found out years later they thought I was imagining all of this and were trying to ignore me until I grew out of it. I think my sister probably still believes that it was just my imagination. If I was imagining him, I supplied myself with a lot of imaginary detail. The last 2 years I saw him, he had started to look old. His hair on his chin was turning whiter and whiter through the months. When he wouldn't show up for a night, I would worry about him. When he finally did stop hanging out, I was very stressed and concerned for a while. I think it was a few weeks, but this is almost 20 years ago now, so I can't be sure. When it finally sank in that he really wasn't coming back, I got very sad and cried almost through this one weekend. At dinner on Sunday, we had our rich Uncle Benny over, and I was still crying over the pig-nosed man. Finally, my sister asked loudly in front of everybody what I was moping about. I told her that the pig-nosed man was dead, and she literally did a spit take, spitting creamed spinach all over Uncle Benny's new rent-a-girlfriend. Sis, Uncle Benny, and the escort du jour all went to the bathroom to de-spinach this woman we never saw before and would never see again. Dad and Mom asked me quietly to tell them more about the pig-faced man, so I said he was dead and began bawling, finally able to talk to someone about the deep loss I felt. "I thought you told me he was dreaming all that," my father said accusingly to my mother. Mom got mad and she exploded. "Well, maybe if you'd let me take those psychology courses I'd been asking you to let me take, then I would have known he was real. Did you ever think that?" Long story made short, both my parents now wondered what kind of kid gets stalked by a pervert who watches him sleep for 6 years, then cries when the pedo creep dies. I got stuck in weekly meetings with an idiot of a psychiatrist, then badgered a few times a week about how expensive the moron psychiatrist was. At 18, I left town for college, mainly to get away from having to go to the shrink weekly to assuage my parents' guilt at leaving me exposed to a child predator nightly for 6 years. The thing is, I don't think I ever saw him as any sort of predator or pervert. He was a friend of mine. He only hung out because he was curious, and I was just as curious about him. He had the strangest hair on his head, more like fur almost. He had the largest ears, too. He never stayed until the sun came up, so I never got a very good look at him. I never saw his hands or body, and I have no idea how he would arrive and leave, since I never heard anyone either climbing the wall outside my room or walking around on the roof. I don't think he was a regular man. I think he was something else. Maybe he was a one-of-a-kind creature, or the last of his kind. If anyone out there has had an experience anything like this, please let me know about it.
Number 2.
The Man-Sized Bat, as told to Peter Bernard, read by P.Q. River. Hey, Scary Stories, here's a story for P.Q. River to read. It's about a hairy monster, but not Bigfoot. I hadn't thought of it in years, but when I saw that your writer, Peter Bernard, is appearing at a comic convention with Pete and Pete, it jogged this memory back to the front of my mind. It seems that a lot of times, when people see strange cryptid-type monster animals, it's when they're camping, or for some reason, out way beyond the edge of civilization. Half the story is about how they got to their location and how far away it was from the closest town or whatever. My story skips all that boring stuff because I found my monster in my own backyard in New Jersey. This story took place in Leonia, New Jersey, in whatever year they shot the first season of Nickelodeon's Pete and Pete on Woodridge Place. I live north of there, and I attended the Leonia Middle School at that time. We were right up near where they now have the animatronic dinosaur theme park, which seems particularly ironic and bizarre, since what I saw may have in fact been some sort of prehistoric creature. Back in the 90s, I would have loved to live a few blocks from animatronic dinosaurs. As for real living monsters outside my window, that I'm not so sure I enjoyed. My block was all private homes with backyards. We had 3 fairly old trees in our yard and 1 treehouse in the tallest and oldest one. The tree nearest my window was old enough that it went up past the roof of our home and lots of creatures lived in it. That summer, for whatever reason, a man-sized flying creature took up residence there as well. When I say took up residence, I guess that's not entirely accurate. He or it would sort of chill out in the tree, hanging upside down for a while, before flying off again to do I do not know what. If it was really a bat, then I suppose wherever it stayed during the day would be its true address. I'm not sure it was actually a bat, though. The first time I saw it, I didn't think bat at all. I thought I saw a pterodactyl. I had been staring out the window, enjoying a warm June evening, when out of the darkness of the tree, closest to my window, a loud flapping sound, coupled with loud movement of leaves, erupted, terrifying me momentarily. I looked in the direction of the tree in time to see a huge thing, with bat-like wings, fly away quickly. We had just seen Jurassic Park either days or weeks earlier, so dinosaurs were on my mind. My friends and I had been talking about why there weren't pterosaurs in the movie, and it had been on my mind a lot. So that's why when I saw bat-like wings, my first thought was dinosaur instead of bat. The next night, my friend Steve from school stayed over and brought his Sony Betamax video camera with him. We both fell asleep standing guard by the window when suddenly something screeched like a predator outside the window, waking us both up with a start. Steve started filming, but all he ended up getting was us both screaming, "Did you see that?" accompanied by visuals of the room lights reflecting off the bedroom window. I asked Steve to lend me his camera, but he said it was really his dad's, so that was out. I begged my parents for a video camera, but for some reason they didn't think it was wise to spend hundreds of dollars to shoot video of our backyard at night. For the next few weeks, I stood guard by my window anyway. I would see him almost every night, probably about 5 times a week. Gradually, I got a better sense of what I was looking at, and it was not a pterodactyl, or at least not one like they had in books back then. It was a furry creature with bat wings, a short tail, bug ears, and a face that looked like a cross between a man and a pig. That's kind of what it really looked like, if a bat, a pig, and a human all had a baby. The idea sprang into my head. Is this the real monster behind the Jersey Devil? This had the bat wings that the devil is supposed to have, but it definitely did not have a horse head like old Mr. Leeds. When it would fly off, I would wonder where it went. If it was a bat, then it must have flown off to hunt or to suck blood, as those are the main ways bats eat. I wonder what that thing would hunt, and shuddered at the thought. At that moment, I was glad I didn't own any small pets, as I didn't think they'd be safe living there any longer. By later in August, he, or she, didn't appear 3 nights in a row, and I started sleeping in my bed again instead of by the window. I'm not 100% sure it stopped coming around, but I know that I soon forgot about it. That's the thing about life. You can encounter the deepest and most fascinating mystery you'll ever see, but then soon enough it's time to go shopping for new school clothes and notebooks, and to have your sense of wonder pounded out of you for another few months until Christmas time. I feel like I should end it as though I were on Reddit, like, "Hey, Mr. Giant Bat in a Tree Man, let's not meet again." But in truth, I'd love to get another look at that guy, whoever or whatever he or she was. Or else I'd love to hear of someone else making a similar sighting. It's hard for me to believe I've grown into an adult and yet never heard another story about a man-sized bat flying around New Jersey. Or anywhere else for that matter. Surely someone must know what that thing was. Surely someone besides me must have seen it.
Number 3.
Flying Pig of Pittsburgh, as told to Peter Bernard, read by P.Q. River. I've been listening to your show for a while. I like to hear stories about monsters in the New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania areas. I'm in my 80s now, but when I was younger, I used to hunt all through those regions. I experienced some strange nights, but the only time I can claim with absolute certainty that I saw a monster was this night in the late 1950s, when I was hunting with my late brother in this wild area near Oakdale or Rennerdale. We kept hearing what sounded like wild boar in the underbrush, but when we would advance closer to the area, we would then hear the pig noises coming from a different direction. The fourth or fifth time it happened, I remember my brother getting spooked. He said there was something wrong, something off about what was happening. There was no way boar could change their location that quickly, and even if they ran, we would hear them running. And then, as he finished saying that, we heard the pig noises from yet another direction. Now, I was getting scared too. I asked him if he wanted to give up and go home, acting like I was only going home for his benefit. Then he said no, and I changed my tune fast, insisting we get out of there at once. "Maybe there are lots of boars," I suggested. "Maybe they've surrounded us, and maybe they are hunting us." Before I could finish expressing that idea, we were both heading back in the direction we came. The pig noises continued now and then, but mostly seemed to be coming from further and further behind us. We finally started relaxing and slowing down a bit, laughing at how frightened we had been just a little while earlier. Then a huge, wild, hairy boar fell out of the sky and landed with a thud in front of us. Both screamed and fell on our butts, and if I recall the story correctly, we both relieved ourselves right then and there. It was a pig, but as it got itself up off the ground, it proceeded to continue standing up and up and up until it stood on two legs like a man. This hairy pig was part man. And then it screamed. Or maybe screeched. It sounded like it was being gored alive. It sounded in pain, but I think it was just angry. And then the most impossible part of the story happened. The pig man grew wings. I just saw these bat wings flap from its back, then it flapped its wings furiously, taking off into the night. Dust and dirt were kicked up and got in our eyes and in our noses and down our throats, and we were coughing and dry heaving and clearing our eyes for some time after the pigman had departed. Once we recovered a bit, we recommenced our egress post-haste, and made it back to civilization with no further incident. Whenever I tell this story, and I've told it a lot in the 60 or so years since it happened, people ask me if the incident put me off hunting. Absolutely not. I reasoned that seeing something like a flying pigman is a privilege unlikely to happen to the same person twice in one lifetime. I was correct about that, too, as I never saw or heard that creature, or anything even vaguely like it, ever again. Now that I'm old, I never know when I tell the story, if it's the last time I'll tell it, so I figure it was about time to hand the story on and get someone professional like P.Q. Ribber to read an official public version of it. Thanks in advance for putting my story on the air, and please remember to stay spooky.
Check us out on our YouTube channel, Scary Stories NYC.
And if there's anyone out there who can't get enough of P.Q. Ribber, search in your favorite search engine for P.Q. Ribber, and you'll find plenty of podcasts, music, and weirdness.
Bigfoot Attacked My Tiny House. Scary Stories by Peter Bernard, Volume 1. Now available on Amazon in paperback, Kindle, and audiobook versions. Narrated by PQ Ribber and me, Madeline Starr. Foreword by TV's famous Timothy Green Beckley, better known as Mr. UFO. Come back for more scary stories.